I am so excited to have on the show, he's back on the show, award-winning director, producer, writer, and actor, James Clayton. He's here today to
Hello.
talk about
Okay. Thanks for
his film, his award-winning film, Get Fast, an action-packed thriller. And one of the cast members here today, and I'm delighted to have her, is Faye Wren, and she's an award-winning actor. And I just want to welcome you to the show. And congratulations on the film. I mean, it's actually was will be featured at the American Film Market in Las Vegas, which was on November 15th. Is that correct?
was yeah, it was featured at the AFM. It's out on demand and digitally in the United States and in Canada right now, and it will go a limited theatrical in Canada in January, and it's actually currently playing theatrically in a whole bunch of countries overseas as well too, and will continue to roll out in 2025.
Now, I saw something, it's actually in Japan too. Is that
Well,
right?
that oh yeah, that you're referencing a post. It
A
will come out
post.
in Japan. I can't announce what the date
Okay.
is yet, but what you saw was the poster for Bulletproof when it came out in Japan,
Ah.
which is the first film in the in this series of films. And they had actually changed the title in Japan to Mr. and Miss Strange,
I love that.
which is really
Too.
cool. And the poster is really cool too. They changed the color of some of the wardrobe in that. And I was like, oh, I actually would have done that choice. That was a better choice. I like what they did. So.
Yes, well, that leads me to the question actually. Is this a sequel from Bulletproof? Get
It is.
Fast?
It is. So it is a sequel. It takes place roughly about a year after the events of the first film. But it's not a sequel in the sense that it is that you have to watch the first movie in order to enjoy this one. It's very much a serialized story, much like, you know, the first like two or three Diehards or Indiana Jones. And I did it that way because, you know, it's an 80s, early 90s action throwback film. But I also wanted to infuse that serialized feeling from, you know, the old TV shows, you know, that actually would have inspired George Lucas to do Star Wars and all that stuff. And also too, like the way that James Bond was serialized back in the 60s and 70s, you know, like there's Phil Granger who plays Vic in the film, and he's loved the movie. He actually caught a little bit of the reference, you know, in the opening sequence, there's a little bit of Goldfinger in it, right? You know, S kind of stuff. So I mean, the film is unabashedly just supposed to be fun for people, nothing else.
Well, it has a lot of action and thriller, which leads me to, is this your first time working together,
It
Faye?
is.
Yes. So how did it come about? What was the process like?
Oh, well, I'll answer that first, Faye, because you
Yeah,
wouldn't
go
know
for it,
where it all
James. I'm
started.
curious.
You know, it really did start with just a casting search, you know,
Yes.
and we were looking with, I mean, as you always do, you know, when you're searching for an antagonist, is we needed someone who had, you know, some great screen presence and someone who was really unique. And you know, there were a lot of really talented actors that submitted, but Faye jumped right off of the screen right away. Her audition's really cold and really evil. And she had a streak of red hair in, if you remember, you had a streak of red in your hair, which I thought was really interesting. And to be quite frank, she was the only one that was different, but also had an elevation to her audition. And it was raw as well. So, you know, it's I find sometimes you almost don't want an audition to be too polished because it doesn't seem quite right. And I'm rambling now, but anyway, she was phenomenal in the audition. And there was really no question that it was going to be her. So, I mean, she was top of the list, and thankfully, she accepted the role.
Aww.
Yeah.
For me, it was like a blast just to audition it because I was like connected to the role. I was because there are certain audition I'm just like, oh, doing it. But then this audition, I remember I felt it in my body. And the backstory of the original monologue that I auditioned,
Oh yeah, that's right. That's right.
connected
Yeah.
with it. And I was just like, ooh, that's fun to just like, hook my teeth in. And then when I was acting it, I love the stabbing part because whenever
Yeah.
I get physical, I find I get into my body, get into my breath, and I was there.
So it was so fun to audition it. And I didn't have many takes when I was auditioning it. I just felt like, oh, I think I got it. I rarely have that confidence when I'm auditioning. So it was really cool experience, actually. And then when I got the booking, it was also interesting because I think I had projects back to back that I directed or produced, like whether that's stage or short films that had toxic forces behind them that I was so burned out. And when this project came along, it was such a breath of fresh air because the leadership in this project, James and all the producers and all the leads, are fantastic people to work with. That's so rare to see on a film set where the hierarchy at the top really create a culture that I was just like, every time driving to Kamloops is such a joy. It made my year. It was all
Oh, that's
honestly
phenomenal.
the highlight of my year. And I was just amazed at James just like directing, acting, producing. Like, I was like, how do you switch all these hats so calmly? I was like, oh my God, a next level.
Yes, no,
Lots of caffeine, Faye. Lots of caffeine.
No,
it's the kindness. It was incredible. Yeah.
which makes a difference when you're working well and you're on the all on the same page. And you play the character Nushi, correct? And how much fun did you have? I mean,
Oh.
your character was so believable. Like, when you're playing a villain, is it more fun? Maybe that's not an easy question to ask. Is it much fun to play the evil, the villain, than opposed to a good, I mean, a character that's a little more, not as, I'll just put it that
I
way.
always love evil. I love because it's so fun to just. I think I'm in real life a little people pleasing and pushovers. I'm trying to shift that, but in movies, I get to like release my inner rage, and that have no consequences for real. Yeah, it's awesome. It's also like I find the tricky part of playing villain is caricature, and to find where this script, when I first auditioned, there was like instant I can have something to anchor into. That's something I really loved, to be able to bring some humanity backstory into the character.
Yes, well, that's wonderful. And I want to go back to what Faye was asking or saying. James directed, produced, acted in the whole thing. How did you balance? Because the whole many roles that you have, you go into being a director. Is this your second time directing?
Yeah, this
Correct?
is my second feature that I directed and also acted in and
Congratulations.
produced. I don't think that there is no balance. So that's right off the, you just accept that there's not going to be any balance. I mean, Bob Hoskins, the late Bob Hoskins, he's got a quote where he, only directed once, but he said directing was kind of like being pecked by like 100 chickens at once or something like that. I'm paraphrasing because you get everyone's coming to you at every single moment. I would tend to agree, but I actually enjoy it. I think the only way that you could possibly do it is just your preparation and all the work you put in beforehand. Like the script was meticulously gone over for like written and then read and prepped on for a year. All the shots were prepped and ready. The edit was already pre-visualized before we came to set. And the whole team knew it, right? So like the Zach, who is a producer and the editor of the film, he knew the edit, he knew the shots. And all Johnny and Mark knew the edit and knew the shots. And Ryan Ennis, the second unit director, and everyone knew what the movie was going on or going was going to be before going in. That being said, we weren't prescriptive about it. It actually allowed us to have a relaxation on set, so that we could have latitude to go, oh, we actually don't need these shots. We're over covering.
Yes.
Or we're going to augment this because of the nature of the location, or something's just not working. And then, of course, from a performance perspective, it allows me to not have to communicate as much what we're doing because everyone knows what we're doing. So I can just focus on the foundations of what needs to do and just do corrections while I'm acting and directing, because I've done so much of the directing beforehand.
That makes sense.
Yeah. It's the
Yes.
only way to do it, unless you have like a gigantic team and budget, and we had a 60-day shoot schedule, then you could probably fold some of that communication time on the day. But I mean, I won't say how many days we shot the film because people would be aghast by it, but we didn't have much time. So we didn't have time to talk, really.
Yes. And it takes a team and passion, which you both have, and which I'm going to ask you this question to both of you. Is there a favorite part that you enjoyed the most, or was everything like you enjoyed? Like, was there anything that really, oh, I love doing this?
Oh, please, Faye, you go first.
Yeah. Oh, the helicopter. It was literally my first scene. I was just like, oh, are you okay with being strapped on with the door open and doing this? And I was like, cool. There was a moment I was like scared, but then it was like so much fun. So that was like a great opening to everyone, right?
Well, we hadn't met yet either, because I was off shooting something. So she was brought to set. That's actually one of my highlights too. She was off, or she arrived while I was off shooting other stuff. And then I was notified she was ready to go. So when I arrived to set, she was already strapped into the helicopter and taking off. And then it was me besides Ryan Petey, the cinematographer, underneath the helicopter shooting. And it was kind of like I remember telling Ryan, I feel like I'm Francis Ford Coppola in Apocalypse Now. This is the coolest, craziest thing, because you're in the wash of the helicopter and Faye's like doing her, you know, nushy thing. And then we got to meet after. And so it's cool. It's cool. Definitely.
Yeah, that was so fun.
Yes, but you have to be in pretty good shape to be able to work on set for many hours. I don't know how many hours, but long, I would think.
Oh,
and
yeah.
In being always ready. So, and all the energy that I've seen in the film, like, tell us, how do you stay fit, and how does it help you in your roles, your many roles? And I know, Faye, you do other things on the side too, right? You're an actor, but you also produce, right? Is that correct? And direct?
Correct.
So,
yeah.
yeah. So tell our viewers.
James, go first. Yeah. I'm so
okay.
curious.
Oh, like, sure. Yeah. I mean,
barely moved. You were like,
action. It's all good. I mean, I'm in my everyday life, I'm like generally a pretty athletic guy. And so, you know, and I do a lot of weight training and like stamina exercise or endurance exercises. I haven't done anything in a couple months now because I have a newborn, so I'm a little soft from my usual regime. Basically I have a certain maintenance level where I'm in pretty good shape. And then a couple months before filming, I'll just step it up and I just train as long as I can, mostly high intensity, knowing what the nature of these films are. So that, like you said, I can literally go like an Energizer bunny, because when the day I'm working probably 3 to 4 hours before we start shooting, and then I have to work 3 to 4 hours after we wrap, but that's after we get back. So I'm working 21 hour days when we're shooting these films. Right.
Yeah.
So you gotta get up and go. It's a lot.
I remember seeing James because I was done. I was like, hi, James. And he's like in the meeting doing all the directing and producing. I was like, wow, he has no downtime.
Well, there was one day where we actually shot because we were running out of time on our schedule. So we shot all day and shot all night. We had two crews running. So I think you were wrapped already, Faye.
Yeah, probably.
And so we shot in Cache Creek. We shot in the morning, and then I slept as we traveled to Kamloops and we shot all night. It was the craziest shoot schedule ever. Yeah.
So,
yeah. It was like it was a 48-hour, 24-hour shoot. Yeah.
So the word balance is not there. So what would you say? Passion, maybe?
Yeah. I mean, it's so short-lived, you know? I think this is probably, I love being on set and I love acting. I love directing. I love the doing of it. But I think there is something to be said about making a movie so you can edit it. You kind of want to you want to shoot it, because editing is the most fun when you're cutting.
Is it the most? Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you want to throw up the first couple of cuts because the illusion isn't there yet. So you're like, this is going to suck. This is garbage. And then as you start going, and then you go, oh, I actually need this shot. And then if you're lucky enough, you can go out and shoot a couple more days, get your pickups, but you're kind of sculpting. You're in the real sculpting phase. So I really enjoy editing.
Wow. Yes,
for sure. And with the script, like how much, I mean, Faye's here from the cast, but how much did or you have like your rising star co-star, Suleiman, sorry, and Faye, like how much did you have involved in the script? Like if something didn't work, would you suggest it and work with it as a team, or how did it, or you just went with the script, how it
I
was
went
laid out?
with script, but we did a tiny shift of my entrance scene.
We did, yeah, because I remember I did a really big kind of reduction in the scene. And then on the day, we ended up bringing some more back because it felt like it was a little hollow, which is, can happen in an action film. I mean, the biggest thing on these independent movies is that you're trying to create a balance where there's the momentum and you're serving the action and that action audience, but then you're trying to infuse the story as active as possible because, as audiences today, they say they crave more story, but it's so hard to execute in an action film where you're slowing the pace down because then as soon as you do that, then they say the movie doesn't have action and it's not slow. It's why like Mad Max Fury Road is such a genius film because of how intricate he wrote the story, but the story's happening on the vehicles as they're moving and they're doing all these things. So it was really that's genius level in terms of an action movie. And then, but for the most part, we stuck to the script on this one. I would have to say, yeah. Suleiman was pretty spot on all of his lines. And Faye, you were too. I mean, the real big memory I have is I just feel bad. One day I couldn't give Faye the time that I would like to have given her on one of the scenes. I know that we were losing time. I would have liked to have given her more takes. But here's the thing about Faye, she nailed it on the one take. So like I felt bad and had misgivings on the day, but then when it's in the film, you're like, well, the performance is good. So it must have been meant to be that she was just going to hit a home run and then I send her home.
Wonderful.
Just Babe
Well,
Ruth
I
it, right?
always appreciate more takes, but
Yeah.
sometimes it happens,
Yeah.
right?
That's
Yeah.
wonderful. Absolutely.
And yes, I, Faye, is this your first time playing a villain?
No, I'm special in
Yes.
villains.
Do you enjoy, you really enjoyed this role, Nushi?
Yeah, I do. I actually don't really see her as villain because you stole my money, James.
I know, it's
Trying to
bad.
get it back. Like
And
you're the villain.
I
But
killed your brother. I'm really the bad guy.
yeah, I'm like, I'm just on the vengeance path, right? But in a way, I am definitely villain because the business I run is definitely something sketchy, and I was thinking maybe I'm selling arms and like but it's huh?
That is what you're doing, but
Yeah.
yeah.
I was like, it's so much guns that will cost more than the money that I'm trying to take back. But it was like, I first started doing some villain roles on stage, and I remember just some of the training, my teachers keep finding me femme fatale characters, and I was like, what about me that they keep seeing as a bad person? And later on, I found when I started finding those characters, I was having so much fun. And through that process, I actually found a lot of personal power. Because one thing that even my therapist worked with me is like, I constantly internalize the anger and start going at myself, trying to like, oh, what's wrong? And then I fix it. But instead of like setting boundaries, actually having actions to apply to other people's actions, consequences, right? Or punishment. But it's that comes with some power. I think a lot of times society kind of label the anger as a bad thing. I think if you abuse it, it's bad. But if you don't express it, it's actually bad as well. So what I learned from all the villain roles was different ways of expressing themselves. And even in that, I had to find my voice, find my physicality. Like that all gave me a lot more, like face center is coming. So I actually enjoyed it a lot later on, but at the beginning I didn't get it. I think the teachers saw them first, which I really appreciated.
That's wonderful. Yes. And James, you play the thief. How did you enjoy your role?
Oh, I loved it. I mean, after I played the thief in Bulletproof, I really wanted to do another movie in that world and play that character again because, I mean, it's not like you're at work or anything. It's like you're just having fun. I mean, who doesn't want to be the nonchalant, off the cuff hero, you know? And it's certainly not who I am in real life, you know, in terms of being gruff and rough and tumble and shooting people and telling people where to go and all of that. So, I mean, there's that element that Faye's talking to where there is a bit of, you get to, exercise an alternate part of your personality that you wish you were. There's some escapism, but like in a healthy way, right? So you're basically using the art as a conduit, because in my everyday life, I like to be pretty chill and funny for the most part and quiet as much as I can.
How's the feedback been so far?
Oh, that's a great question. I mean, for the most part, people have, or audience members have enjoyed this film more than the first film. It's getting rated higher, which I mean, I've kind of removed myself from it a little bit too, because as much as like I want to listen to audience feedback, because I think it's important for growth, to objectively look at what you're doing and progressing your craft. But at the same time too, I kind of view it as a little bit of it is it's just kind of not for me at the same time. Like I make the movie, but I'm not making it for me, I'm making it for audience members. So I kind of remove myself a little bit from what the reaction is. But it seems to be positive. It seems to be positive so far, which is good.
That's
And
really
Blue Diamond likes the movie too. Blue Diamond said he loved it when I talked to him. So
funny.
that's, yeah.
Say, would you like
Okay.
to add to that?
Oh, I think it's really healthy to, as creatives, to remove from, because the feedback is a lot of personal projections too,
Oh, yeah.
to remove from that a little bit. That's a big lesson I learned years ago doing another action film where the production, I like all the audience really enjoyed it, but critics hated it. And for me, it was like a roller coaster to take them seriously because it was hard to gauge. But at the end of the day, you're making an entertainment. So keep people entertained, right? That's the goal, right? And then there was a quote that I saw someone said, it was a Cate Blanchett or someone. They were saying, they learned very early from other actors that once the work is done, it's done. It's about the work. And then the review and all the awards, everything, it doesn't matter. So I find that really helped to anchor me. And another teacher of mine back in the day, she was like, it's just work. Everything else is fluff.
That's
And
wonderful.
it's anchoring into where James said at the beginning, it's like we stop glorify this thing and we just anchor into the craft.
Love it. I love it.
Well
And
said.
yes.
And we had so much fun watching the film together. I was like in the theater, we felt the energy of the crowd. Everybody was laughing. Everybody was like, oh, like it
I
was so
was blown
packed.
away by how active everyone in the theater were, and they would cheer when something happened. I was like, whoa, this is crazy.
That was
Yeah,
an awesome
very
experience.
interactive.
We had so much fun.
And people would like to watch it. Where can they go? Where can they? I know you said earlier, but can you? It's on.
Yeah, so
Yes.
I the easiest place to watch it in Canada right now would be on Amazon Prime. You can rent or purchase it, and then it's going to be streaming soon. It's going to be streamed soon, but I can't announce which platform. It's also on Plex, it's on Mubi. In the United States, it's on demand and digitally everywhere. So it's like if you've got an Xbox, if you've got Fandango, I mean, you name it, it's out there to get. Overseas is playing theatrical in multiple countries. And then I believe early next year there's also going to be a Blu-ray and DVD release. But we'll be making announcements for when that happens too.
Before we leave, is there anything else you'd like to add that I didn't ask?
Oh, well, the only thing I'd like to add,
I have
you
James.
did.
What's your next project?
Well, that's a great question. That's actually what I was trying to like decipher in my head. I've got a few projects that are up next. I think that there is a bulletproof three, so to speak, that's waiting in the wings if this film continues to be as well received as it is. You know, because I've been hearing rumblings that people want another. Although ahead of that, I do have another action film noir that it's another series that I'm going to start, which is a lot grittier and more adult and hyper violent, which I will most likely go into production on prior to Get Fast or Bulletproof 3 or Get Faster or whatever you want to call it. So we'll see. That's what's coming.
The Christmas movie is playing same weekend. Confession of a Christmas Letters. And also there's another movie. I should have prepared better, but there's another movie called Booked for Christmas. It's also coming out. Yeah.
Excellent. Two movies.
Fantastic.
Christmas time movies.
Yes.
I actually got one more thing to add. I did, I was one of the producers on a Hallmark film that's coming out this holiday season too. I think it airs mid-December. It's called Happy Howlidays.
Aww.
It stars Jessica Lowndes, and you know, it's two people fall in love and their puppies or their dogs bring them together. And Terry Ingram, who directed The Three Wise Men, I think, in a baby last year's Hallmark big smash hit, is the director. So that's going to be debuting mid-December, and we're really proud of that film too.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I want to thank you both for joining me today on the program. And it was such a fun interview. And yeah, so thanks again for, you know, congratulations to both of you.
Thank you.